bringing science classes to the masses. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton interviews the founder of the Khan Academy, an online learning space that's pushing STEM education to children everywhere. That discussion starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, let's talk STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. Now let's talk about high-quality STEM instruction available online to students anywhere. Well, that's pretty much the working definition and mission statement of the Khan Academy. The Khan Academy recently scored a three-year, $3 million grant to bring free, high-quality biology education content to students and teachers everywhere. So we grabbed some time on founder and CEO Sal Khan's calendar to discuss the grant, the origin story, and the future of Khan Academy. And here we go.
Sal Khan, founder of the Khan Academy.
Sal, let's talk about the Khan Academy real quick, and thank you for giving me time today. In your words, tell me what the Khan Academy is and how you got it started.
Khan Academy is a nonprofit with a mission of providing a free world-class education for anyone, anywhere. And make it a little bit more concrete, we imagine that if there's children or learners of any age someplace on the planet who don't have access to a school, that we can give them the software, the resources, so that they could self-educate if they just have access to a smartphone or a low-cost tablet. Ideally, a student does have access to a school, especially when they're a child or until the age of 18. And there we want to supercharge the classroom. And we do that by giving teachers tools that help them differentiate for their students, help them personalize for their students, and really free up the teacher's time to spend more direct one-on-one time or do projects, whatever else. And then we hope eventually to have all of that culminate into some type of proof to the world that you know that material. If people go to Khan Academy today, they'll find videos, exercises, whole courses on everything from kindergarten level math to college level, world history, physics, chemistry, biology. And our goal is to cover all of the core academic subjects and be available to anyone on the planet.
Right. And it's a dynamic opportunity and a curriculum, but you're not necessarily like, I always hear this phrase, teaching to the test. And I find that that sounds kind of rote, but your offerings are more dynamic and interactive, and I think more effective than most. And so good work and congratulations on all of that. Sal, we spend a lot of time talking about STEM on this show because I think it's important, and we try to empower teachers as much as possible as well. And I'd like to know a little bit more about what we are talking about this morning, specifically the Amgen Foundation Award that you guys picked up. Can you describe to us what's going on with that?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, biology is one of the core areas of Khan Academy. We wanted to cover biology because we think it empowers as many students as possible to enter into, I guess you'd call it, 21st century careers. I'd argue that biology is about, or is entering, the type of inflection point that programming or computing entered about 30 years ago. And Amgen, to their credit, recognizes that, one, they have a need for talent themselves, where they recognize that a lot of the college grads they're hiring, even these students have been using Khan Academy for several years now to get up to speed. And Amgen wants them, and frankly the entire industry, to be able to have a lot more students excited about biology, a lot more students to get interested in biotech and to genetics, and not just in the United States, globally. And so This is a way to hopefully really open up the door to a lot of students who might not either have access, or if they had access, get them even more excited about the field. And as you mentioned, our goal isn't just nice supplementary materials. And our goal isn't just, hey, you need to do well on an exam. It's both. This notion of teaching to a test, sometimes it depends on what the test is. But there's a way that even if, for example, we just made an announcement with the College Board on being the official practice for the advanced placement test in the U.S. And those tests are quite rigorous. So once again, it depends on the test. It really does test higher order skills. But what we want to do is give students exposure to it so that they do well on that test, but they also just have a passion for biology.
Let's talk about use cases around this, too, because you've been obviously in this educational space for quite a while. I have an 8-year-old daughter, and she says, I don't know if she's 8 years old. I'm not going to hold her to it necessarily, but she says she wants to be an architect and an engineer at the same time. I'm kind of like, okay, well, let's get these basics out there first. So let's talk about your biology class with Amgen. Is my 8-year-old going to be able to find accessible information in there?
So the biology content, depending on how precocious she is, the biology content is more at a high school, early college level that we're doing right now. That said, I actually think it's intriguing to watch it with your daughter. Mm-hmm. I actually think if you watch it together, y'all could actually digest a lot of it. One of the things we try to do at Khan Academy, whether we're covering something for kindergarten level or whether we're covering something for early college level, it should be understandable by most people. We try to do something in very plain language. It's very conversational. You see that, you know, the tone of the videos is very similar to the tone that we're using right now. So I definitely encourage that. We do have a ton of content that's very appropriate for your daughter, especially in mathematics and the sciences. We have a lot of, even though some of the history content is developed for high school or college age students, I hear stories, especially of precocious elementary school-aged students really getting into some of the history as well.
Oh, cool. Okay, I will definitely check that out. But I want to stay with STEM for a second because you've been, like I said, in this space for a really long time. How have you seen science education maybe change or evolve in the past years? I don't know how far back you want to be able to go, but, I mean, have you seen something new that seems to be more effective than we may have been doing a few years ago?
You know, when I was in school, I guess about, 20, 30 years ago, you know, science curriculum was pretty standard. It was mainly lecture-based. You'd do some homework, and there'd be some labs in between. I think over the last 20 or 30 years, there has been a nice movement towards what's often known as inquiry-based learning, where, hey, let students not just do a lab that's kind of cookbook, but really kind of push them to try to discover some things on their own. And when they struggle with the material, then when they kind of get the explanation, it sticks a little bit more. So I've definitely seen that trend, and that trend is somewhat independent of Khan Academy. Where I think we've played a role is in the last 5 or 6 years or so. Before that, it was kind of in ed school, teachers would learn about differentiated instruction or personalization, that, look, every student is different. They all need to learn things at different paces. But it was really hard to do that if you have 30 kids in a room. How do you give them each their own personalized progress or their own personalized pathway? With tools like Khan Academy, one, we're working on them, they exist, but also we've been very vocal about, hey, look, this is for teachers to help you differentiate. And so we have seen a change in the conversation over the last 4 or 5 years because of Khan Academy and other things that have been going on in the ecosystem, where now words like personalization, words like mastery learning, which is this idea that you really shouldn't keep accumulating gaps, you know, getting a C on this subject and then a C on that subject and then keep building until you eventually don't understand what's going on because you have so much gaps. You really should just make sure you fill in those gaps. So these ideas of mastery learning and personalization, which really need each other, you can't do mastery learning without personalization. These, I think, are becoming much more mainstream. With that said, I think there's a long, long way to go. There are a lot of forward-thinking teachers and classrooms that are moving in this direction. I know there's a ton of teachers that want to move in this direction. It's just about giving them the tools and the time to do so.
Yeah, which is kind of what you've been doing with on several fronts, but specifically with this Amgen Discuss Access thing that you guys have launched your partnership around. One thing I love about Khan Academy is that I could sail around the world and still teach my kids. I love that. I love the portability and the mobility that comes with such a dynamic curriculum. It just kind of goes together. I think you've done a yeoman's job here.
Well, thank you. And to be clear, Khan Academy is much more than me now. We are over 150 people here in Mountain View. We've had thousands of people volunteer. But, you know, the example that you give of, you know, sailing around the world is actually a really good one because it shows that if you can make the education, some aspects of the education, a little bit more portable, students can get good around their own time and pace, and, you know, it's practice, it's feedback, it's all this stuff, then it frees up a lot of time to explore. And, you know, sailing around the world is the ultimate example of that. But other examples are, I've done this. I had to go to China last year for a week, and I brought my son with me, and it was during the school. And so I said, hey, why don't you just keep working a little bit while you do that? And his teachers were cool with that. So you don't have the opportunity to travel abroad. It should free up the physical classroom that maybe you could do a simulation, or maybe you could have a Socratic dialogue as opposed to the traditional lecture that still most classes focus on.
Right on. Anything coming up you want to mention, Sal?
Well, we're really excited about the Amgen work. This is really going to tie well. You know, this Amgen work is sponsoring the work we're doing with the College Board around advanced placement. We're going to high school level. We're translating in Brazilian Portuguese and Spanish and Hindi. We're just really excited. You know, it's kind of surreal. All this started with me tutoring a cousin out of a walk-in closet not too long ago. And I think this month, you know, we're going to be 15 or 20 million students are going to be using it all over the world, and it's growing 40-50% a year. So it's very, very exciting for, well, hopefully it's exciting for the world. we'll be able to reach a lot more students.
Well, I think your growth numbers and your scaling up surely prove that it is important to the world. Congratulations to you and everyone at the Khan Academy. Thanks a lot for your time this morning. I hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Sal Khan. He's founder and CEO of the Khan Academy, K-H-A-N. The Academy provides high-quality education content to students and teachers everywhere. We were talking specifically about a $3 million grant from Amgen for biology instruction. For links to these resources and all of our sourcing, actually, go to kgoradio.com and look for the story that goes with this week's show. You can also keyword search Techonomics wherever you get your podcasts for our other STEM coverage. Coming up after the break, an author surfaces an amazingly positive story about women impacting the entire field of astronomy about 100 years ago and using a Harvard telescope. That's next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.